Okay, well, welcome everybody to our 8:30 a.m. wake up call. For us, it's this is a weekly call that we do at WBRX, and we invite everybody obviously to participate and jump on the call, and anybody that you know. I mean, I've had a lot of people have asked me, hey, who should really be on these calls? Well, our calls are they're transparent. It's open information for anybody that's involved, teaming up with us as a partner in the business, and even the people that are, prospects that are looking at the business and trying to determine whether this is something that they would like to do. We invite them as well, because what we really just try to convey on these calls are information that we think is relevant. For anybody that would be building the business, that's relevant for the moment that we're in, and honest, straightforward, transparent information that's relevant to building and developing our business, and try to keep the information specific and succinct, and give you guys hopefully something to take away and do something with. I mean, that's our objective and our goal as we get into this information. So we just want to say thank you again for participating and being on the call, and we'll jump into the information. You caught us on a Monday morning right out of an event. And so many of us, whenever you have an event, there's always a certain amount of energy that you can extract from that event. And certainly this was no different. We had, and we've just had a phenomenal group of people that helped us, participate and celebrate in our 1 year anniversary. And, if you weren't there, we will tell you that you missed, a great opportunity to kind of get involved. And obviously we certainly understand that, not everybody can be there, but if you weren't there, we certainly recognize that. And if you were there, then you know exactly what I'm talking about. We had a great day on Saturday. I think that everybody that participated did a great job. We had some people that were recognized, and we had some folks that came up and participated. Dr. Tricia Poonsalong was there. Of course, Dr. Jasani was there in the morning, and Dr. Patel. And of course, just a good amount of information that was conveyed. And I think that, from what I can gather, excuse me, the big takeaway was everybody, I think, really felt that it was a very effective and productive venue for them to be able to get a good assortment of information. I don't think we had too much information on any one particular area, but just enough in the areas that we did. And, what we try and do when we have these events is really provide information that would be relevant, for people building their business. And we know that, it's one day, you're sitting there, you're taking as much information in as you possibly can. And I have to, really congratulate those that were there, because that's certainly what I observed. People were really there. They were focused. They were involved. They were engaged. And many people said to me, Barry, the only thing I was disappointed about is that I didn't have some of the key people that were in my sphere of influence there with me, because I think that they would have loved, the approach of the company. They would love the information. And I think that as we continue forward, we're going to soon be announcing, by the way, our first university event coming up in 2021. We're going to be announcing that date and giving you guys plenty of time and a heads up. And we're going to be talking about, the location of that event. We may elect to do the event here in Houston, and we may elect to do it, possibly somewhere else, maybe Fort Worth. We're kind of in the phase where we're just looking and listening and talking and getting a sense of what's taking place right in front of us. And, we try to make sure that we do the very best job that we can to make sure that we apply the information, in markets where it's relevant, and new markets and growth. And some of the folks that we had there represented an opportunity for the company to expand and grow into new markets. And we want to be pliable and flexible enough to be able to adapt and to be able to, move into areas where those markets are and provide them with the amount of support and the direction that was needed. So I thought everybody did a great job. I was very pleased with the leadership in the company, with the information was conveyed. I thought the panel that we had up there did a great job. I thought the people that came up and received the recognition and their awards did a fantastic job at the information they were conveying. And when you look at the you know, the bump that you tend to get coming out of an event. It's always exciting, you know. And so now I know that many of you are going to be spending, you know, that had people there. And, you know, I know Mike Brunell, you know, he had his team there. And I know Mitchell had his team there. And, you know, as you guys get your team there, you know, we always pay attention, you know, to those vital signs. And you guys, you know, really listen to that information and you really paid attention, because the vital signs always indicate, look, how many people do you have in your organization that are, you know, teaming up with you to share the opportunity, to share the plan? If you can find people that are willing to just commit to sharing the plan X amount of times on a weekly basis, then that's one indicator. And then the next thing that we have are, you know, how many people within your organization are utilizing the tools, you know, utilizing the information. We had all of our tools laid out on the table there. We have, obviously, we had a segment that was dedicated to some of the online university tools that we're providing. So the tools are key, because tools are something that are always duplicatable. People are not duplicatable, right? So I can't be, you know, like anybody else. I can't be like Sean, or I can't be like Dr. Patel or Dr. Sonny. I just have to be me. I just have to do the best job I can at being myself. And that's all we try to encourage people to do, is to try to get as good as you can be at you, and take that information and utilize your personality and your skill set and be the best you that you can be. And so that's part of using the tools. And then the third thing is really, how many people do you have at the events? How many people in your organization are attending and coming to events and bringing people? Because, again, we are an event-based company, and we do build from event to event. And we're so excited about coming up into 2021, because we see a big, big, huge light at the end of the tunnel of our capacity to kind of go out and start building and developing inside of our business model as it's intended to be, where we can get together in small groups, share information with one another. I think that the collaboration, the fellowship that people enjoyed in between sessions at breaks, you know, on Friday night, I think that's really the that's kind of where we see the significant benefit, right? We see the opportunity for people, you know, to get to know one another. You know, it's like we're all like-minded. Otherwise, we wouldn't, on some level, even be involved in this business. We all have to fundamentally believe in some of the capacities of how our product applies itself to the benefits and the needs that we have from a wellness perspective. Right, we talked about the fact that we're a wellness-based company, and that there are a lot of different products that we can add into this. And you know, I had a great conversation with Dr. Jasani, and, you know, he said, you know, Barry, I kind of get, you know, I know that we're really indoctrinated. We're so focused in on the you know, the unique opportunity within the cannabis industry with CBD, but I get the picture now when you start talking about dropping in other wellness-based products, because we have not pigeonholed ourselves into just CBD. I mean, we love where we are within the cannabis space. We love the opportunity to expand and grow, to be a participant in what we believe to be modern-day prohibition timing. We love the opportunity because we think we have this unique window as things continue to grow and grow and grow in the United States, and more studies begin to become relevant to how, you know, the application of the various compounds within the actual plant apply themselves to the specific needs. And I think that that's what Dr. Jasani was talking about. And Dr. Patel, he really just covered, you know, the growth trend within the industry. He talked about, you know, where things are, but more importantly, where things are going. I think that that everybody, you know, my partner Sean, who you're going to hear from in a second, obviously, he did a great job at conveying the information with the six-step program. You know, talked about the different, you know, different components of our company on the four P's, went into the comp plan. I think everybody just did a phenomenal job at getting up and just sharing the information. You know, what I want to talk about real briefly here, you know, when we move forward, I think I've had a lot of texts, a lot of questions, you know, post-event. And most of them relate to, hey, what exactly can I do to get better in these areas that, you know, we talk about in terms of personal development, right? And the first thing that I always try to, you know, talk about and challenge people with is, you know, first of all, you know, personal development only happens because you follow a plan to develop yourself personally. It's not something that typically happens because it sneaks up on you or you get inspired randomly. You know, inspiration comes in most cases because, you know, you've either had something that's happened that's caused you emotionally to spin off from something that maybe is not as, you know, you've looked at your life or you looked at some specific areas of your life and you said, you know what, I really don't like this. I know I need to make a change. Change typically happens from one of two different areas. It's either inspiration or desperation, right? Either you've been inspired because something has happened and you say, man, I want to make a change. I want to follow that. Or there's been something that's happened in your life where you say, enough is enough. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I don't want to continue down the same road that I'm on. I'm going to make a change. And so my response to everyone in the texts and the emails that I had is, look, you know, set aside the designated time on a daily basis, because results in terms of developing yourself personally only happen through a series of daily habits on a consistent basis. Most people overestimate what they can do in one day, but they underestimate what they can do a little bit every day over the course of, let's say, you know, 6 months to a year. And it's amazing what can happen. I mean, people say, well, Barry, I don't really, I get tired when I read. I don't like to read. Hey, start with a page. You know, start with one page. Read one page. Really? Just one page? I start somewhere. Then read two. And then get to five. And before you know it, you'll find yourself reading 20 to 50 pages a day because of the habit that you'll form, and you'll find yourself getting used to that habit and looking forward to it. And I know that reading is different today. We can download audio books. Some people, you know, learn really well auditorily. I believe personally we all learn best, just like you would from seeing a Zoom call or training. We learn best when we see it and we hear it. That's my personal belief. That doesn't mean that we can't gain value from audiobooks. I'm saying audiobooks are a heck of a lot better. I mean, if you're taking the time to commute or driving your car, turn your car into an audio library. Give yourself an opportunity to learn rather than just hanging out and recreating and listening to music. Use that time. Just designate a time every day and commit yourself to some sort of personal development. And everybody says, you know, then the next question is, well, what type of personal development do you think I need? I don't know every individual circumstance. I know that for me, there was a series of types of personal development that I went through in my early stages where I was doing, you know, it was more of an awakening where I was reading information I had never read before, you know, and everybody comes through those bits of information and they come to those things that they're looking at and seeing. And, you know, I just read a lot of books. You know, Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill changed my life. I mean, at the time I read it, I was a very young man, but it was life-changing information for me, right? And that doesn't mean everyone's going to feel that way, but it certainly was for me. And I know that, you know, people have different types of information that compels them and gets them excited. And I've shared that information with people because I can tell you that if you read, if you take the time, and it's not necessarily, you know, the easiest read. There are books that are really much easier to read than that. The Richest Man in Babylon was probably the easiest read that I ever had that really had a profound effect on my outlook from a financial perspective and taught me, because it was in storybook form, and it kind of taught me the lay of the land in terms of what I need to really focus my attention on. And what I learned in those early days is that most people spend a disproportionate amount of time on things that make the least difference. And they don't do that just with, you know, one area. They tend to do that with, you know, every area. They can do that with their personal health. They can spend a disproportionate amount of time in the things that make, you know, the least difference. So they can spend a larger proportion of time with the things that do make the most difference, right? And so it boils down to, you know, the food that we eat, the exercise that we apply ourselves to on a continuous basis. I mean, it's not complicated, but again, it's just a set of daily habits. It's nothing that anybody can't apply themselves to. And I think that this conversation really kind of started when we went through the, you know, exercising the attributes of success. We went through that training, and obviously we really recognized people that we believed exemplified some of those characteristics. And really at the end of the day, you know, if you think about it, just think about it for a second, our comp plan is exactly our comp plan and our products that we have today are the same for everybody. And we have some people that are doing far better at building their business than others. And that's okay. We should never compare ourselves to anybody else. That's a big thing that I try to always encourage you to know the truth. The truth is, and I can just share with you my personal experience, when I got involved in the industry, I was so competitive, I found myself, you know, focusing, you know, and comparing my results with other people's results. And that's a natural tendency, but the truth is I had to get out of that lane, and I had to stay in my own lane and say, what, I got to start competing against myself. I got to start paying attention to what I believe my potential is, not to what other people's potential is. I don't want to compare myself to someone that's getting what I perceive to be good results, but maybe I can get better. I don't want to compare myself to people that aren't getting good results, because that's a terrible place to go. So I had to really kind of say, okay, here's the areas and the skills, the things that I have to work on and improve on. And until I start working on these skills, then it's probably going to be a tough road for me. And I had to identify, you know, what those skills were. And we've done, you know, I've done a series, a training, and I probably haven't done it in a while, and maybe in the weeks to come we'll start a series where we talk about the specific skills, right? And this, again, this is right off the top of my head, but the first skill that you have to, you know, work at is, you know, what are you doing to find new prospects? And then the second skill is, you know, how effective are you at inviting, you know, and promoting events with those prospects, because that in itself is a skill. And then the next skill that you have to pay attention to is how effective are you at presenting, you know, specific products or presenting your business opportunity. And that's something that oftentimes is learned, and you're learning as you're earning, because in the event that you're promoting and inviting with level of effectiveness people to a series of Zoom calls or meetings that are done by those that, you know, maybe have already learned how to present the information, then you're participating in the cultural development of the company. You're leveraging off of success that our medical doctors and other people have had. And now in the process of inviting people to those events and participating in those events from that perspective, maybe sharing a personal testimony, then you start learning how to present the product and opportunity by osmosis, by seeing it modeled and conveyed in the conjecture and the information by others that are there. And maybe then again, offering your personal testimony. And then the next skill, the fourth skill, is following up with your prospects, which is really what a lot of you are doing this week. Follow up is a skill. It's a designated skill. I can tell you that, you know, when I first got involved in the business, I just went bananas at, you know, inviting people, finding prospects. Man, I just went down. I literally, you know, I didn't have a smartphone at the time, and I, you know, I had a database. You know, I don't know if many of you can remember way back in the day, it was something called ACT, where I had to create, you know, take the people that I knew within my sphere of influence, or let's call it people I had on my database. And then basically our people that I had on my list, and then put them into that database where I could kind of track and follow what was going on, you know, much like an Excel spreadsheet or what have you. Well, today it's so much easier. Today we've got a cell phone, and we can not only access the contacts that we have within our contacts in our phone, but you've got social media where you can access, a group of people that you've probably known for a long time in your life, and then they, you know, potentially you can access the people that those folks know. So it's really amazing today, in my personal opinion, how fast things are moving in our space. And that's why, you know, when I got involved in the industry, guys, frankly, if you were fortunate enough to learn the skills I'm talking about, you can get yourself up to an income of $40,000, $50,000, $100,000 a month because you're just applying these skills. And now today it's like, you know, people are routinely earning $300,000, $400,000, $500,000, $1 million a month. And I don't know that this is often discussed, talked about, or known, but it's a fact of life. I mean, I've worked directly with people in the industry that are making that type of money as people that are working in the same scale influence as a brand partner, right? So a quick review. Look, finding prospects, inviting prospects, and promoting events, presenting the information from the, you know, from having participated in those events, and then following up, which is a lot of, I mean, I really needed help when it came to following up because I was so busy and so active talking to new people, inviting them. I was really good at finding prospects and promoting events. And I frankly never knew the comp plan or never understood it enough to convey it. I had never really, you know, got in front of a group of people when I first did it. It was horrible. I mean, I mean, frankly, if I wasn't doing the presentation myself, I would have left. It was terrible. But through continuous pursuit and persistence and putting myself out there over and over and over, frankly, over time, and that's the only way it got better, is I just learned how to get a little bit better. And you know, I never took a professional class when it came to speaking. Many of, you know, I've had some people have asked me that question. No, I never did. I've never, to this day, I've never taken any sort of formal education when it comes to presenting information. That doesn't mean I'm down on it. It just means that I never had that experience. And in saying that, what I'm saying is I just over and over and over with repetition learned that there were certain specific things I had to do. And believe me, it wasn't easy. I listened to myself. What I would do and what I recommend people do, if you want to get better at presenting information, and we'll talk more about this when I get into the series, I'm just touching on the high points, then just simply record. You know, just today we can do it on our phones. You can record yourself in any conversation you want to have. If you're sitting down with someone, I just recommend you ask, hey, listen, do you mind if I just record this conversation? I'm just working on my skill set to improve myself to make sure I'm communicating with as much accuracy as I can what this opportunity really is. And you'd be surprised how people respond to that. They're like, oh, of course. And they have no problem. Why would they be upset about that, right? So what I had to come to terms with was, would I be excited with getting involved with me? If I were communicating information and I were sitting on the other side of the table listening, would I be interested, excited, or compelled to take the next step of evaluation? Yes or no? And sometimes in that early stage, it was terrible. It was like fingernails on a chalkboard. You know how when you first listen to yourself, to this day, when I hear myself on a recording, I'm like, you know, we are always our own, in most cases, worst critic, right? We're always the ones that can hear ourselves and think, well, that inflection could have been a little bit different, or I could have probably said that sentence a lot better. But that's part of what it is. It's always looking at how we can improve, and that's part of presenting information. And the other thing, you know, outside of following up is okay, now what are we going to do to assist or help our prospects become, you know, either customers or brand partners? And I know that you know, some people don't recognize that the skill is just collecting decisions. I mean, I've never, you know, it's an emotional thing where we feel, I don't know if I want to ask them, are they ready to get started? I mean, of course you should ask them if they're ready to get started, because why would you have ever present the information to begin with? And it's just a question. There's nothing wrong with asking. If you don't ask, if you don't seek, you probably won't find. And if you don't ask, you probably won't know. So the question should be matter of fact. Listen, my responsibility is to convey the information. Anybody else's responsibility is to accept it or not accept it. So I really do believe it's just a mindset of collecting decisions, right? And then the next thing is to make sure that we get our new brand partners onboarded as effectively as we can. getting them started correctly, which is what we're real big on. We're doing all the things that we know how to do as a company by providing, our new online university, by providing great tools, recordings, information, so that people have resources and information that they can go to at just a point and click and make it very simple. And then the next skill is learning how to effectively promote events. And you know, as I've paid attention to the skills required, to build and develop business, that's something that, you know, internally as a company, I've gotten together with our team and I've said, hey guys, here's something that I think we can do a better job at. And I think that the only way that we do a better job is we transparently convey ideas and concepts. When we get together with our marketing team, guys, what can we do to be more effective at promoting events? And you have to ask yourself the right questions before you can get the right answers. If you're walking into an event by yourself, that's fine. But, you know, as I was sharing with Sean earlier, I said, hey, I can, because he was pointing, some folks out that were in the meeting, and some people were kind of in and out of the meeting. I said, well, that's an easy one. I promise you, if you have a new guest at the meeting, you're probably going to see the meeting through their eyes, and you're going to hear it differently. It doesn't become repetitious information. It almost becomes brand new. So the key to being able to have a new impact on yourself in an event environment where maybe you've heard information before, but maybe you've never listened to it as though you were presenting it, or maybe you've never listened to it through a brand new person's ears, right? And so that's really the benefit of coming to an event, is bringing brand new people and being able to have that experience. So promoting events is a major, it pays so much money if you learn how to get very good at promoting. I can tell you that the guy that I often refer to, that, you know, at the time I was working with him, consulting with the company and working as a, you know, working in field development, this guy was earning $1 million a month because first and foremost, his skill set at promoting was phenomenal. I mean, straight up one of the best promoters I've ever seen. I mean, he had good skills in other areas, but I think that of the skills he had, he was extremely good at this skill, right? And then the next skill is making sure, you know, I mean, obviously promoting events is probably the most, I mean, the last of the skills we've talked about, right? And that's the seventh skill. So the first skill, finding prospects. Second skill is learning how to effectively promote and invite those prospects to a series of events. And then you learn how to present the information, learn how to follow up, with your prospects, helping your prospects then determine where they should, should they become a customer? Should they become a brand partner? What is your business plan? Laying that out for them. And that starts with getting them started correctly, onboarding them correctly. The best way, in my personal opinion, to onboard a new brand partner is getting involved in their plan of action. I can assure you that this week, along with the folks that had their teams there and new folks there, my conversation when they call me is going to all be about what's the plan for the new person. Getting them started is very important. Where do they see themselves in the business? Great. Let's look at that. Let's look at their decision. Make sure it fits with their contact base, their credibility in their contact base. Hey, how many hours a week do they have to dedicate to developing this business? Because I can partner with people. I can't carry people. If you try to carry people, like if you try to get them involved, but you're going to do all the work, that's a tough one. I want to caution you. You can put one person on your back, but you can't put two. You can't put three. You can't put four. So just be aware that when you're sponsoring people in the business, you're modeling a behavior and an activity that you want people to be able to duplicate and to be able to have success with. The biggest tragedy that we have in this industry is we've got people that have evolved and they've developed some of these and refined some of these skills I've just mentioned. And they're exquisitely excellent, and some of them are unbelievable presenters. I've seen some people, man, they're over the top. They're great in front of a room. I've seen some people that are really good at inviting, some people that are great at follow-up, but the challenge is they do things in such a way that it's difficult for other people to duplicate what they're doing. And I'm all about new activity. I'm all about, you know, anything that somebody says they can do and do effectively. I just tell them the same thing. Hey, listen to what we have to say and take the best of what you like out of it. If you don't like it all, then just take that and, you know, decide to execute that and get rid of that. That's fine. Whatever, take information from what we have to say is what Sean and I and many others that have had success and results, and apply it how you best see it working for you. Okay. Building your own personal philosophy is a sum total of information that you've gathered and you've applied and you believe it will work for you. Ultimately, if you don't believe it's going to work for you, then it doesn't make any difference. Hey, and if you tell us, hey, I've got a better way to do this, 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 and this, hey, go ahead. We're all about show us how it's done. Give us a pattern, show us the results, and hey, if you're all about results and you're able to develop that result pattern within your team, then we'll look at integrating the information that you convey. The information that we convey, as I shared at the on Saturday, you know, in the last 30 years, if you ask me, you know, how do we build our business? Everything that we've done, it has really been primarily with our skill set and all the areas that we've talked about, and focusing in on leadership development, making sure that we spend the adequate time with the people that are, you know, the vast majority of our time with the people that are doing the vast majority of the work, right? And it doesn't mean that we don't pay attention to everybody. We try to do that, but that's what we focus in on. Now, there are some people that are evolving into our company that have had skills, maybe in e-commerce. Maybe they've got a phenomenal skill set at social media, you know, being able to bring people into a specific blog and, you know, maybe sharing information about results that they've had with the product, and they create what we call an online funnel. Hey, those are skills that just add to the propagating of finding new people. I'm all about it. And it does, as long as the skills that you're utilizing are something that can be effectively duplicated within your organization, hey, we'll incorporate it if it works. You go out and you start developing an organization that does $1 million, $2 million, $3 million a month, $4 million a month, $5 million a month. Why would I not pay attention to that? Hey, go out and build an organization that's doing $100 grand a month. I'll pay attention to that too. I mean, it's all relevant to what we can do to collaborate and work together to get and harness the best result pattern that we possibly can, guys. So anyway, listen, I've taken a few minutes to cover some information I hope is valuable. What I'll do next week is I'll start a specific series and offering some information in every one of these different categories and elaborating on them more specifically on what might be of benefit and value as we continue, forward in our 8:30 a.m. talks. Take the parts of it that you see valuable for you, that you believe are applicable, and that you believe would be workable for you, and apply it. You know, that's all we ask you to do. So with that, guys, I'm going to turn the call over to my partner, Sean Baker. And hey, brother, I just want to say what a great job you did at this event in every way. I was pleased. I was smiling from ear to ear when I was sitting back in the room and just watching you up on stage, just remembering, you know, where you came from and where you're at. It's an awesome thing, man. So congratulations to you. And I couldn't be more pleased to work with of all the people that we had in that journey. I think God has just blessed us to have this opportunity to work together, and excited beyond excited. So anyway, I'm going to turn the call over to you, brother. Take it away.
Hey, thanks, Barry, and ditto to you, man. Great job, and great job to all the leaders, the folks that got up, you know, the ones that kind of knew they might get up and were a little more prepared, and the ones that had no idea they were going to get up, and it completely caught them off guard. You know, I just thought everyone was so authentic and so real, and I got to say, you know, Barry, that it starts with you. I have learned a lot in life in these 44 years, but a big majority of that I've always accredited really my gifting or my skill set, you know, to the United States military, to Enterprise Rent-A-Car, and frankly, you know, to Barry Koshu as a result of working and building a distributorship. And then to have the opportunity to be an owner now and a partner and lead and watch, you know, it's so funny because I know that smile of which you speak. It's, and I say this with the utmost respect, the only parallel I can make is for my children. Not that any of you are my children, or that I mean that in any way disrespectfully, but if you have children and you ever watch them accomplish something, whether it's their first steps or their first words, I mean, you experience a smile and a joy that you don't even know. I mean, you don't even know you're doing it. It's so natural and it's so real and it's so authentic that you catch a glimpse of yourself in a mirror somewhere and you just got this big old cheesy grin from ear to ear. Well, watching people get awards, you know, I mean, like Dr. Patel's not easily flustered. He's someone that's usually, you know, not at a loss for words. He's very cool, calm, and collected. But I'll tell you, I mean, if you watch the video footage and you experienced it live, you know, when he got up and got the leadership award, I think it really touched him. I think he was surprised. I think he was taken aback. And I think he was, you know, for his personality type, I think it made him a little bit emotional. I think he was just really honored. And many of you, you know, I could see in your eyes that you felt the same way. And the reason that I point that out is because it's ironic, like a little love fest, I guess. But, you know, I watched someone almost get emotional at accomplishing something, you know, taking their first steps in the business. And frankly, it touches my heart. You know, I'm like, oh my God, you don't, you know, you keep it together and I'll keep it together. But it was just an amazing experience. And this is just year one. I mean, I remember the last event that I went to for when I was a distributor, you know, there was 600 or 700 people, I think somewhere in the ballpark of 650 people in the room, and only 10 or 12 people got awards. And you talk about the energy and you talk about the vibe and you talk about just the juice that activity creates. Pardon me. And it's just an amazing thing. So, yeah, while we had a small, intimate room of wonderful people, which I want to touch on that as well, I can't tell you, I'm pretty sure everybody at the event at some point either spoke to me directly or I heard them say indirectly how great all of the other people of the event were. I mean, you know, I know Gail was like, God, the people from Fort Worth are just amazing. And the people from Fort Worth were like, oh, these Houston folks are great. And, you know, Sarah and Jeff came over from Belton and obviously Alan and Ron came in from other states, and there was no tension and no strife, and everybody just was excited. I had several people, Rachel over from Fort Worth said, God, I can't wait for the next event. She said, I'm an attorney and I do nothing but try cases and network. And she said, I've never met a greater, finer group of people. I can't wait to come back to the next event just to spend time with these people and more. And so just a really unique experience to have been there as a distributor and now to experience as an owner. It is an honor that I cannot express into words. And I hope my energy is conveying what I'm trying to say, because it's just an amazing journey and I'm eternally grateful. So with that, I did want to cover a couple of things. I wanted to congratulate Sin Lee. I know she's on the phone. She was not able to attend the event just due to some health issues, but I want you guys to know normally, and I'm just being honest, I normally, if someone missed the event, it's kind of a present to win deal with me. I mean, we spend money, we spend time, folks fly in, they take time out of their busy schedule. And so normally I would just kind of not mention someone that wasn't at the event who had maybe gotten an award, but I do want to congratulate Sin Lee, because back in December, you know, Sin Lee was battling walking pneumonia. She had very close deaths, several deaths in the month of December, very close people in the family, and she still went out and won a $10,000 contest and was a leader at that time, was just doing great things and continues to do great things, but she wasn't able to be there because of some health issues. And if she misses an event, you just have to know that she's, you know, she's not someone that just misses events. So I wanted to recognize her as an award winner because she couldn't make the event. But congratulations, Sin Lee. We're proud of you. We're so proud of everyone else that got awards. And I named you off by name, but I didn't prepare for that. So we're just honored that you guys, you know, did the things you did to achieve what you've achieved. And we know that's really just scratching the surface. So one of the things I want to talk about with you guys is Barry and I, you know, have the privilege of talking to you all day on a Saturday, but to be honest, we only get through a fraction of what we would like to share. So like as it relates to the compensation plan, I would have loved to have gone over the IRS statistics that 56% of the population makes $26,000 a year, you know, a year or less, in greater detail. I know Barry touched on it. He always does a great job, but I would have loved to have broken it down in great detail, because once you understand that we really, and I'm not trying to be an elitist, but most of the folks that were in our room on Saturday are all already six-figure income earners. But only the top 3%, nationally speaking, of income, you know, tax-paying citizens make over $100,000 a year or more. So, like, as we sat in that room, the vast majority, if not probably everybody, was a top 3%er. Well, guys, the way we're going to fill that room with thousands and tens of thousands of people is not only talking to the top 3 and the top 1 income earners in the United States. It's going to be getting down and dealing with folks who, like me in the beginning, needed to make an extra $500 or $600 or $700 a month. You know, there's really four primary groups of people within any organization. Well, I guess five if you count your customers, which you certainly should. So you have five categories, really. You have your customers, you have your spare timers, and spare timers really spend only about 3 to 5 hours a week, sometimes every other week, building a business. But as a result, they have a lower expectation. They're going to spend 3 to 5 hours a week, and they only want to make, say, $500 this month, okay? And that's a good person to have in your organization. So write that number down if you've got notes. Write spare time, and they want to make $300 to $500. Because the volume required to make that $300 to $500 means they need to produce about $3,000 to $6,000 in volume in a month for them to make $300 to $500, right? They can do that through production bonus. If a manager goes out and signs a manager, well, they get a $300 bonus. If they go out and sign an executive, they get a $600 bonus. So if they go out and sponsor one person, they've met their goal of $300 to $500 that month. Because by the way, guys, again, I know I'm talking to the 3%ers here, but $500 in one point in my life was a bottle of wine. But at one point in my life, it was the difference between the car I drove and the car I wanted to drive. It was the difference between an apartment and a mortgage. It was the difference between this zip code and that zip code. $500 at one point in my life, and it's still a lot of money. I don't scoff at a $100 bill ever. But I would tell you, $500 to some people is a nice weekend away at the Zaza. And to other people, it's rent. It's a much, much bigger deal. It's a greater value to them. And they are valuable to you as a part of your organization. The third group of people, so I've talked about customers, spare timers. Then you've got part-timers. Now, part-timers can usually put in a little more work, but they want a little more result. So let's just say as an example that someone that's part-time can spend 5 to 10 hours a week working the business and wants to make, let's just say, $1,000 to $2,000. Well, within our compensation plan, if they do somewhere between $6,000 to $15,000 a month in volume, they would knock down $1,000 to $2,000. So that could be sponsoring one director or one regional director, or it could just be having, say, 60 to 100 customers that are using $100 a month, right? And that helps that part-timer put $1,000 to $2,000 in their pocket. Then you've got the full-timers that are in this business, by the way. Full-time here is really about 30 to maybe 40 hours a week. And those folks expect to knock down somewhere in the ballpark much greater than 5, probably 10, usually more like $15,000 a month. They want to put in a full-time effort, but they want to make a full-time wage. Well, the volume within our compensation plan required for me to go out and be a full-time distributor, if I want to make, let's just say, $10,000 a month, I've got to knock down about $60,000 a month in volume, roughly, okay? So customers, spare timers, part-timers, full-timers. Now let's talk about the last category, the business builder. Now you can take someone like a Barry Koshu, who had a wonderful skill set, an amazing amount of grit and grind, and someone that just wins and accomplishes everything he sets out to do, whether it's baseball, whether it's personal training, whether it's his own physical appearance, you know, working out, swimming. I heard him talking, you know, on stage about the first time he got into his swimming regiment and how hard it was. But now the guy swims 3, 4, 5 days a week. He's got his children swimming. You know, this is just a guy that likes to achieve anything he does with greatness. And so if you find a business builder or two, it really becomes game over for your organization, because those folks, you know, they want to make an excess of $15,000 to $20,000 to $30,000 a month. Well, the requirement over here is an excess of about $100,000 a month in volume. So let's just say you've got one or two business builders that are doing around $100,000 to $200,000 a month in volume. Well, the reason I went through all five of those categories is because I want to share with you, if you have three companies, 1, 2, 3, you can jot them down, right? And each company has five customers that are each spending $100 a month. Well, that's $1,500 a month in retail sales volume, therefore qualifying your business, by the way, and you would make somewhere between, you know, well, if you've got three companies, you're at 40%, right? So you're knocking down just a nice little base check, you know, month in and month out that you don't even have to think about. You know, $1,500 times 40%, that's $600 in your pocket. But more importantly, if you just had one spare time person, one part-time person, one full-time person, and one business builder, okay, anywhere in your business, and you look at their goals. So you've got one spare timer that wants to make $300 to $500. Well, their volume, if they achieve their goal, will be $3,000 to $6,000. And you can write that down in a column. Your part-timer wants to make $1,000 to $2,000. Well, right below there, write $6,000 to $15,000. And so on and so forth. So if you take a spare timer, a part-timer, a full-timer, and a business builder, you would be looking at somewhere in the ballpark on the low end, 3,000 plus 6,000 in volume, plus 30,000 in volume, plus 60,000 in volume, right? That's your part-timer, or spare-timer, part-timer, full-timer, and business builder. You've got about $100,000 in volume that would have transacted in your organization. Well, if you're at 4% on $100,000, that's $2,400 a month before your feet even hit the ground. Plus your 600 retail sets, that's $3,000 before you even get out of bed. And you've only got four people in your business, a spare timer, a part timer, a full timer, and a business builder. Or if you're at 8%, that's $4,800 plus the $600 that you're making in retail. So now you're at $5,200, over $60,000 a year. And you've only got four people in your business, a spare timer, a part timer, a full timer, and a business builder. If you're at 12%, that's $7,200 a year plus the $600 a month from your retail sales. So you're really at about $8,000 of monthly gross, you know, net income. Sorry, I'm speaking net here. So 8,000 times 12, you're at $96,000 a year. Again, a lot of, for most of you guys on the phone, this is going to be in addition to what you're already making. I know Alan is an example, medical sales rep. This will be in addition to the other services that he offers. I know Rachel is an example, is an attorney. This will be in addition to her practice. Anthony Kane, he's in construction and commercial residential roofing. This will be in addition to what he makes at his JOB. But someone like a Sean Baker, or a great example is Mike Rennell. You know, Mike Rennell has had success in his life. He's looking for something to create now a greater significance for his boys and for what he's already accomplished. He's looking for the next, to turn it up, to go to the next level. You know, if you're a golfer, call it the back nine of life. You know, Mike's accomplished a lot. He's got a lot of juice left in the tank, so he wants to go out and accomplish more. Well, if you've got a Rachel that's a spare timer, an Anthony that's a part timer, you got an Alan who can maybe put in a full-time effort, but he really still has a full-time job on his own, and then a Mike Rennell who's a business builder. Guys, you're knocking down $5,000 to $10,000 to $15,000 a month when you only go out and get 15 customers and sponsor four or five people. Now, if you want more results, go out and sponsor 8 or 12 or 16 people. It's all some statistical math. You know, I just tell you as an example, Mike Rennell brought three guests to the event, Scott, Alan, and Ron. Now, the best I can tell, Scott's jacked up, completely excited, ready to rock and roll. Alan gets the bigger picture. He's ready to rock and roll. And then Ron, you know, Ron, it was kind of a maybe when I left anyway. He was excited. Now, I will tell you, this is one thing I love about the information and the time that we share and the information that we convey. Even people that are like, you know, I'm still not sure, but man, I had a great time. I'm still not sure, but I am so glad I got on an airplane and came and did this. That's what he told me. He said, I'm not sure if I can get over the network marketing thing. I'm going to try, but man, I'm so glad I came, met these people, and evaluated this information. Well, that's still a win to me, and I hope that he gets involved. But if he doesn't, let's just say, well, then Mike will go 66%. He brought three guests. Two of three get involved. That's a 66% closing rate. So Mike's goal next event or next month will be to have, you know, six guests come and four of six or five of six or three of six to get involved. Now, if you're a Grant Cardone enthusiast, what Grant would say, and I don't disagree. We were talking, Mike and I were talking, I think it was Mike, and I were talking about the type of doctor that's that's often best for this business. And I'm not saying this is good or this is bad as it relates to just sheer numbers. I'm just saying it is what it is. But really, family practice and internal medicine are an opportune target for this opportunity, because, you know, Dr. Jasani, God bless him, you know, oncologist dealing with cancer day in and day out. But at the end of the day, because of the level of his work and the evaluation and the care, he can only see about, let's say, 10 to 12, maybe 15 patients a day. So if he sees 15 a day and he gets 10 of them, well, that's a very high closing patient ratio. But if I'm a family practice internal medicine doctor and I'm seeing 80 to 100 a day, even though I may have a smaller or lower closing percentage of my overall patients, if I get 30 of 100, while that's only 30%, 30 is still going to be more than if Dr. Jasani, as an example, goes 15 for 15, right? So I always look at the statistics and I look at the percentages. So you take a guy like Mike who had three guests come, 66% of them get involved. You know, next month, I would like to see that number be 30 and still close at 66%. But even if it doesn't close at 66%, guys, if you have 20 or 30 guests in your funnel and you only have a, you know, a 25% closing ratio, that's still more people getting involved in the business, and it's more activity driving more volume. So hopefully all of that makes sense to you guys as it relates to kind of the numbers. So as you drive your volume and as you drive your organization, you should first and foremost, guys, and I'm not going to ask anyone to unmute and put you on the spot, but I bet if I did, if I said, hey, if you're listening, throw me a quick text with your number. What do you want to make in the month of October? I bet some of you could, and I bet some of you couldn't. I bet some of you would pick a number because you've been put on the spot, but I bet you didn't tell your husband or your wife or your children or your business partner, you know, on October 1st, hey, this month I'm going to make $10,000 and, you know, drive $100,000 of organizational volume to get there. Like that's the level we have to start thinking at. So whether you text me your number, you text a friend of yours your number, your wife, your husband, Barry, Austin, it doesn't matter. You need to know what your number is for the month of October, for the month of November, for the month of December, and then just use the backwards math. If you want to make $5,000, look at our one sheet comp slide, and you can backwards math how much volume is required for you to make $5,000. But be prepared to help your people do that too. If you meet maybe a single mom or a single dad and says, man, right now I'm just struggling to pay my kids, you know, daycare is an example. I just need to make $500 or $1,000. You need to know the math. Great. You know, over here, you know, Sarah or Karen or Joe or Jeff, over here, you can make $500 a month if you only have blank customers, 15 customers as an example. Or if you go out and you sponsor one manager a month, that takes care of your kids' child care. Would that help you? Guys, we got to be thinking about the benefits that people receive. The products are great. Don't get me wrong. Better night's sleep, pain relief, decreasing anxiety, increased energy. I love our products. But at the end of the day, people look at our products as an expenditure. If you're talking to a single mom who is barely, you know, my mom is an example. My mom, who was a single mom and literally could barely make ends meet, and you started talking to her about a product that would make her look better, feel better, have better energy, have better sleep. She needed all of those things. But if you had just presented her the product in the category of making money or spending money, she would have viewed that product as an expenditure that she couldn't afford, wasn't in a position to buy, and that would have been a no for her. But if you could help her understand that buying that product and using that product and then offering that product to other people could change her financial situation, where she could quit the Texaco 7 to midnight shift and just focus on driving a bus and spending time with her children in the evening, because that $500 that she made, you know, at minimum wage, clerk at a gas station, she would have absolutely jumped on the opportunity. But someone, I'm just being honest, would have had to definitely connect those dots for her, because most people, they get in their situation, they can't see the forest for the trees. Every time you talk to them about, you know, anything, coming to the event, well, I can't afford to go to the event. Okay, it's because you don't understand that if you came to the event and you brought people with you, you would have made a $100 event, you know, investment in the event and walked away with a $10,000 payday. people in this world, I'm not talking about in our business, though our business unfortunately is not immune from this either, people in this world today will literally step over dollars to pick up nickels. They don't do it maliciously. They don't do it. Frankly, and I say this with the utmost respect to those that do that, because I too have been one of them, but they literally just cut off their nose to spite their face because they don't know better. They only know one way. Their parents probably taught them, or public education probably taught them, and no one has said, hey, this is insanity. Stop. There is plenty out there. Quit having a poverty mindset. Get involved in something, anything. I would tell you, Barry and I both obviously want to host events. We want people to get excited. We want people to get educated, and we want people to get involved. But I would tell you, and I won't speak for Barry, I'll just speak for myself, I would be okay if I wouldn't love it, don't get me wrong, but if they came to our event and said, look, I just don't know that I can get behind CBD, but you have opened my eyes that I have to do something different with my financial situation. I've got to get out of corporate America, the golden handcuffs. I'm going to go home Monday, and I'm going to be a new person, man or woman. I'm going to change, and I'm going to see you in a year, and I'm going to be in a very, very different financial place. Your opportunity wasn't the right opportunity, but thank you. You opened my eyes. You've got me looking. And in a year, you're going to see I'm a different person. I would still be happy. I would call that a win. This is much bigger than a product or a person. This is about culture. This is about mindset. This is about achieving greatness. This is about doing what you were designed to do and putting your best foot forward in whatever opportunity that is. Now, I would tell you, I'll go fist to cup with anybody. I would go page to page on comp plans in any industry, real estate, car sales, corporate America. Our comp plan and our products are unparalleled, unmatched. But if someone just doesn't get it, I can lead the horse to water. I can't make them drink. But if I can open their eyes to doing something different, putting their best foot forward, leaving it all on the battlefield. I saw a meme just yesterday. It's a guy riding a motorcycle with no hands, which I don't recommend or encourage, but it said, of course I'm going to blank. It said something like, life has an expiration date, so go live it, or something like that. And I thought, you know what? I'm not going to ride a motorcycle with no hands, but he's right. That meme is right. Life does have an expiration date. If we're blessed to be here, you know, what I think Barry said, 85 years, he did the math, was like 30 some thousand days or 40,000 days, you know. If you're 44 years old like I am, you're looking at that the sand of the hourglass and going, okay, wait a minute. There's less left in it than there's more in the bottom than is in the top. And it starts to change your thinking. And you start to realize that time is extremely valuable. It is a finite resource. It does not replenish. So go out and make the best use of your time, whatever opportunity you engage in. So obviously, I'm passionate about what we do. I think the people that were exposed to the information this weekend get our passion. It is contagious. We are going to do great things in this industry. You know, Barry, I have to say this in closing, and I'll kick it back over to my partner here. But Barry's gone out and done now about $1 billion in the direct sales space, billion with a B. You know, he's a guy that has helped over 500 people generate six-figure annual income in the space, and over 50 people has seven-figure income. Guys, I would just tell you, that's not enough. Barry and I both have the goal of having hundreds, if not thousands, of people earn seven figures in this space, and one of them could be you. One of them was me. I didn't believe it would be back in 2002, but it was, and it is, and it could be, you know, any one of you on the call. We want that for you if that's what you want. If you want a six-figure annual income, then we obviously the statistics are in our favor there. We can assuredly help you do that. And if you're just a single mom or dad that need to make an extra $500 to $1,000 a month to change your situation, we are, trust me, I'll speak for myself, I am deeply passionate about helping those folks. I mean, I am all about helping the rich get richer, but I love to look at the success stories. You know, the Megan Mitchells come to mind just as an example. Someone that's single mom, was married to a veteran who got, you know, addicted to opioids and basically just walked out one day and left her with three boys. Well, she went out in the month of, I believe it was January, won the contest for $10,000. I believe her net commissions, contest and commissions included, was more closer to like 11, 5 or 12. You know, for a full-time nursing student and single mom of three, that's a lot of dead gum money. And that fires, you know, both Barry and I up and everything in between. So we're looking for our spare timers, our part-timers, our full-timers, and obviously our business builders, our leaders. We've already identified several within the organization, and we're excited to watch them grow. So with that, Barry, thank you for a great event, man. Thank you for your tireless effort. Thank you for always bringing your A game and you know, being that the ability for iron to sharpen iron. And I just couldn't be more proud of everything you do. You inspire me. And, you know, I look forward to, I'm so ready for 2021, but we've got a lot of work between now and the end of the year. We can really finish this thing up strong and then kick off into 2021, you know, just guns a-blazing. So with that, thank you. I kick it back to you, buddy.
Yeah. Awesome job, Sean. I was just sitting here listening to the information. Great stuff. I also had some texts. As you were going through that with people that were sharing the exact numbers of what they plan to accomplish, you know, in the month of October and November and December. And that's really where it begins. You know, it really starts with, you know, having a designated plan and knowing specifically what you want to accomplish. And then things can really just take off from there, guys. So, hey, we're going to, we have our 3 p.m. Central Standard Time Zoom call tomorrow, Tuesday, and we look forward to any and all of you that have, you know, have guests that would like to understand more about our company, the people, you know, our program, our pay plan. Please, invite them to attend that event. It's a great starting point for some. That, along with good samples and good information, and then we do that again on Thursday, and then we, you know, we kind of crescendo the week on Saturday with our compensation specific information. You'd be amazed when you take people through a series of that events along with a great sample and some tools to let them reference and hear other people that are in the business, some of our medical doctors. Man, it's amazing how far along people come that really are meant to be involved within our business. We don't try to, you know, suggest that it's for everybody, but man, there's a lot of people out there today. They're looking for a phenomenal opportunity to become an entrepreneur in this particular space that we're in, and they're just looking for someone to give them directions and show them how they can take advantage of that phenomenal opportunity. So with that, guys, thank you so much for the time that you spend with us here on Monday morning. We're ready to rock and roll. Anything that we can do to help or assist you guys, please let us know. Have a great week, guys. God bless. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.